I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is August 22nd, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, Christian attacks camel. I found the following quote by David Julian on the atheist website of Dromedary Hump. Mendel was searching for God in the regularity of plant breeding and became the father of genetics. Copernicus was a monk in a monastery who was searching the heavens for God and founded modern astronomy. After reading the quote, I then sent an email to David Julian regarding his claim. He replied with the following email. It begins, please don't send comments to my business email address. I've already filed a formal complaint with Hump's blog provider because he has no business releasing my business email address to his list of idiot sycophants. David, that is so Jesus of you. What is it with you Christians and insults anyway? Perhaps if you had even one speck of evidence to support your belief in the spirit world, you would be able to carry on a civil conversation without resorting to insults and childish name-calling. But since you've had 2,000 years and the amount of evidence you've collected couldn't fill a urine cup, I guess you'll just have to stick with the childish insults and name-calling. David says, if you'd like to have a reasonable discussion, I'll be more than happy to converse with you. David, judging by your opening statement, that doesn't seem to be within your capabilities. He said, start with this. Using all capital letters is called screaming. If you want to scream your frustrations at somebody, scream at Hump. David, I use capital letters to distinguish between my replies and your text. If you want to call that screaming, then read it with earmuffs. He said, did you read the follow-up I sent to Hump? Of course you didn't, because Hump did what he always does when thinking people disagree with his limited worldview. He deleted the posts. David, thinking people don't base their beliefs on the ramblings of ancient Hebrew goat herders. You are not in a position to be judging thinking people until you first demonstrate that you are one. David continues, the only people who cannot see God's handiwork all around them are people who choose to intentionally deny it. David, I agree with you. I do see God's handiwork all around. I see videos on the internet that show Christians burning witches, just like they did only a few hundred years ago all over Europe and America. The link to that site is friendlyatheist.com/2009/04/19/ and then each word is separated by a dash, burned at the stake after being accused of witchcraft. David, I see videos that show children being imprisoned by Christians and held until their parents pay for their child's freedom, at which time these good Christians exorcise the demons out of the children and return them, often mutilated, to their families. You can Google Africa witch children. David, I also see replays of the attacks on 9/11, which demonstrated that the nearly thousand-year war between Christians and Muslims continues to this day, as they fight to prove whose invisible ghost is the most powerful. It's odd how two ghosts who are both supposed to be omnipotent can be so evenly matched. If either is omnipotent, shouldn't the war be over? I see hundreds of thousands of Christians dying of AIDS in Africa because they refuse to use condoms that could help reduce the cost of human lives. I see occasional news reports of Christians murdering abortion doctors. I guess thou shalt not kill only applies when you need it to apply. I observe that non-human animal life, created by God, consists 99% of animals tearing each other to pieces in order to survive. Yes, David, I agree with you. Everywhere I look, I see the evidence of God's handiwork. He continues, here is your trivia question for the day. At the equator, the Earth is rotating at more than 1,000 miles per hour. That means on a day when the air appears to be still, it too is actually moving at more than 1,000 miles per hour. What is causing the air to move from west to east at over 1,000 miles per hour? That's 4 times faster and stronger than a Category 5 hurricane and 1.5 times a Category 5 tornado. David, how come when you refer to still air, you included the speed of the Earth's rotation, 1,000 miles per hour? And when you refer to the hurricanes and tornadoes, you forgot to include it. You people couldn't be honest if your mother's lives depended on it. David continues, we know that the Earth's rotation is momentum that is an effect of the Big Bang. No, David, the Earth's rotation results from the accumulation of debris within a spinning accretion disk that formed from the stardust blown into space by supernovae. The Big Bang occurred billions of years before that and played no role. He says, what exactly is causing the air to move that fast? Well, David, we know what you believe is causing it to move that fast. Casper and his two friends. David said, here's another. Retroviruses were revealed to us about 75 years ago. When do you think scientists will discover a prevention or cure for the common cold? Gee, David, I don't know. He says, the truth is, when you deny God, you leave a huge void in your life, and that void has to be filled with something. David, let me describe for you the huge void that developed in my life when I realized that your invisible ghost, as described in the Bible, could not possibly exist. I was taught that I was born a shameful sinner. That shame has been replaced by a void. I no longer feel shame for something I never did. The fact that you do is pathetic. I was told that if I dared to doubt or question the existence of God, I would be tortured forever. That fear has been replaced by a void. You obviously will never know what it is like to live without being terrorized by threats from an invisible ghost. But I can tell you, it's pretty cool. I was told to stone to death adulterers, homosexuals, Sabbath violators, and other heinous criminals. I was also told to burn witches and astrologers. Those commands have been replaced by a void. Just out of curiosity, since you don't have that void, how do you rationalize disobeying God? I thought he was pretty clear on those things. I was given rules describing how to treat my slaves and when I could beat them. That teaching has been replaced by a void. So is your position that my void feeling on slavery is misplaced? I was told that the sun stopped in the sky for a full day. Thankfully, the neurons that recorded that gem have been deleted, leaving yet another void. I was told that if I don't obey God's rules, he would make me eat my own children. Okay, actually, I'm all right with that one. He continues, Hump and Company would have you believe that nothing will fill that void. No, David, you are misrepresenting the camel. Our voids are filled with science. Our love is directed towards people who live in the real world, not invisible spirits who threaten you with horrible, inhuman punishment. David said, but it never does. That's why the so-called new atheists, the newest incarnation of what used to be called naturalists, which is the belief that there is a natural explanation, translate that as any explanation except God created it, for every phenomenon. Simply substitute one set of beliefs for another. Mother Nature, which is science, instead of Father God, religion. David, New Atheists is a term coined by ghost worshippers to refer to atheists who dare to exercise their freedom of speech. In the good old days, you people had methods for keeping their mouths shut. But in a modern world where we have forcefully taken away your slaves, the Civil War, your commandments to stone people to death, human sacrifice, and all your other barbaric practices, you can no longer stone, burn, or kill non-believers. So now you attack those who dare to expose the hate and terror that your religion spreads by giving them a new derogatory name. And new atheists have nothing to do with naturalists. You need to invest in a dictionary. Natural explanations, such as evolution, explain the observed evidence and interpret it without resorting to magical explanations, like divine dirt. Catholics accept evolution, as stated by Pope John Paul II, and they certainly aren't atheists. Many Protestants have the common sense to accept the overwhelming evidence of evolution, and they aren't atheists. The key difference in substituting one set of beliefs, like natural processes, for another, a magical ghost, is that one set of beliefs can be proven to be true in every single field of science. The other set of beliefs, that would be yours, David, can't be proven to be true in any single area of contention. David said, "When was the last time someone tried to stone you, burn you at the stake, or enslave you, or any of your African-American friends, here in the USA, where there is a church, synagogue, mosque, or New Age religious cult every few blocks?" David, you Christians did stone and burn people. You did enslave our African-American friends here in the USA, and it wasn't that long ago. You can't take credit for things that modern humans did to put an end to your barbaric, biblically supported practices. And as I pointed out, you Christians are still pulling all that crap in Africa today. I realize that you want to distance yourself from your horrid history, and with good reason. But as much as you wish you could erase it, you can't. David said, "And if you seriously think U.S. invasions in the Middle East have anything to do with religious conversions, then you are way off the deep end." David, here's another link for you. pubrecord.org/religion/848, and now there will be a dash between each of these words. Rights group uncovers other cases of military proselytizing Christianity to Muslims. For those of you downloading this podcast, you can copy these links by downloading the document off of the website theskepticarena.com. David, I know facts are like kryptonite, but you will do what all Christian apologists do when faced with the facts. Denial. It is your only option. David continues, "No one following the way, truth, and life as outlined in the New Testament could or would support any of those things." Dude, someone forgot to tell the army. Unless I read it completely wrong, those weren't atheists, but Christian clergy. He says, "Part of the anti-religious propaganda that was used to inflame the people of the French Revolution was the false claim that millions of people were executed by the Inquisitions of Europe and that the Crusades and slavery were somehow biblically justifiable to the Roman Catholic aristocracy." Gee, David, I wonder where they got those crazy ideas from. Are you sure you've actually read your Bible? Let me give you a definition of an atheist. An atheist is a Christian who has actually read his Bible. He continues, "It worked so well that following the atheist revolution, there was a reign of terror when the atheists murdered all the religionists they could find, once again proving that it is power that corrupts and that religion is just one source of that power and corruption." Yeah, David, but that one source accounts for most of it. Ridding the world of ghost worship would reduce corruption to levels never seen before. David says, "Keep searching, Neo. One day you might just discover the truth, just like I did." David, those of us who live in the real world do not need to search. What you call searching, we call learning. There is nothing that we believe to be true that cannot be proven to be true by scientific evidence. By comparison, There is nothing that you believe to be true that can be proven to be true by using anything. He signs the email, David S. Julian, and then he gives his website, www.dayjewel.com. And then he adds a P.S. If you send me your address, I'll be happy to send you a free copy of my book titled, I Believe in the Spirit of Truth. David, thanks for the sentiment. However, I have all the fiction I need at the moment. I would return the favor and send you my book, Test of Faith, when it comes out on Amazon in a few months, but we both know you would never read it. His final comment, I think you will be pleasantly surprised that I am as opposed to dogmatic religion, even Christianity, the religion, as most real skeptics. David, the fact that you don't consider your beliefs dogmatic is no surprise, as I don't think any religious believer would admit that, but that is exactly what the word means. The definition of dogmatic, stubbornly adhering to insufficiently proven beliefs. David, maybe you don't understand the word skeptic either. You are not even close. David replied to my email, and I replied to his, with the following. David starts out, I'm sorry, I thought you realized that only Hump's idiot sycophants and really bizarre religious nutcases were allowed to remain on his blog. Those of us who respond to him with real free thought and logic are summarily dismissed and deleted. Unless you are one of those idiot sycophants, you wouldn't be insulted. David, you complained to Hump about being called a fucktard, yet you refer to the camel's herd as idiot sycophants. You make accusations at others which describe yourself just as well. You really do need to follow that advice I gave you before and invest in a dictionary, or at least borrow one. Then you could look up the word hypocrite. The definition should sound familiar. What are bizarre religious nutcases? Are they Muslims, Hindus, or just anyone who has a different invisible ghost than you do? While you are in that borrowed dictionary, look up free thought. You'll discover that you don't qualify. Logic? Are you serious? You believe in invisible ghosts who have magical powers. What could you possibly know of logic? And how do you figure Hump summarily dismissed or deleted you? Last time I checked, he traded several emails with you. Again, dictionaries can be wonderful tools if you are not afraid to use them. Whether I'm an idiot sycophant or not is up to you, I guess. But don't worry about insulting me. You don't have the importance to have that effect. How is it possible to make that many mistakes in one paragraph? Even a total lobotomy couldn't reduce my reasoning skills to the level that you apparently operate on. David continues, this may come as a shock to you, especially if all you read is anti-religious propaganda. 40% of all the Nobel laureates in science, including the most recent recipient, are believers in revealed religion. David, after you put down that borrowed dictionary, go to the web and type in logical fallacies. Find the one called Appeal to Authority. Again, it should sound familiar. And why do you think that less than half is an argument in your favor, especially considering that in the general population, 85% are ghost worshippers? If anything, that would argue that scientific education has a large positive effect in reducing unsupported superstitious beliefs. David continues, and I am amazed that people who routinely falsely call Christians stupid, deluded, deaf, dumb, blind, closed-minded, violent, and worse are surprised when it is pointed out to them that they are blindly following anti-religious propagandists, nearly always without checking it out for themselves. David, stupidity can be found in all groups, but only in religion is it considered a positive quality to be admired. Delusion is not a false accusation. There isn't a more appropriate description of religion to be found in any language. Deaf, dumb, and blind? Now you are just retreating into nonsense. Close-minded is about as close to a perfect description of the religious mind as one could get. Violent? Are you sure you've read the Bible? To claim that Christians don't have an incredibly violent history is equivalent to saying that Michael Vick loves puppies. And what evidence do you offer to support your accusation that I am blindly following anti-religious propagandists? David continues, I haven't been collecting evidence for 2,000 years, and neither have you. In fact, it's obvious from your screaming that you haven't been collecting evidence at all. David, the reason you haven't been collecting evidence for 2,000 years isn't because you people haven't been trying. It's because you haven't found any. Science has been collecting evidence for 2,000 years, and many of the discoveries they have made have proven that your scriptures are nothing more than an ancient collection of fairy tales. And I already explained to you the purpose of typing in caps. I really don't care whether you like it or not. David says, why are you wasting time with this? Well, David, entertainment. Slaughtering the beliefs of ghost worshippers is as difficult as beating the shit out of an autistic dwarf. David continues, the truth is, like most anti-religionists, you are obsessed with justifying your nonsense because somewhere down deep, you know that you may have made the worst decision of your eternal life, and the other 98% of us are wrong. David, you get your truth from an ancient book of fairy tales, while simultaneously denying the provable discoveries of science. You are not in a position to be explaining truth to anyone. Non-believers base their beliefs on provable science. Justification of nonsense is only necessary in religion. That would be your beliefs. If I knew deep down that I had made the worst decision of my life, then why would I hold on to it? Especially considering that the price is an eternity in hell. Obviously, people don't hold on to beliefs that they know are wrong, especially ones for which they could be severely punished, unless they felt confident that those beliefs were untrue. Eternal life is not possible. You need to Google the second law of thermodynamics. Go back to that logic website and look up appeal to majority. In fact, add it to your favorites. You could put it right next to your link to the talking snake and other biblical miracles. And how dishonest of you, David, to insinuate that 98% share your beliefs. Even if it were true that only 2% are atheists, you are hiding the fact that 25% of Americans are not Christians, and therefore are atheistic to your God. David said, start with this. Using all capital letters is called screaming. Use a different font or color, or simply preface your remarks with Neo. David, if I wouldn't let a rational person dictate to me how to type my responses, what makes you think I would obey the commands of a ghost worshiper? He said, what makes you think I base my beliefs on the ramblings of ancient Hebrew goat herders? Now who is the insulting and childish name caller? David, your first question is answered simply by the fact that you are a Christian. That's what proves that you base your beliefs on the ramblings of ancient Hebrew goat herders. Your second question, now who is insulting and childish name caller, would be valid if my statement were false. But the Bible was written by ancient Hebrew goat herders, so it is not insulting or name calling, simply fact. David said, there is no question that third world Africa is similar to primitive Europe. Pretty slick, David. The horrible Christian atrocities being practiced in Africa today happened in Europe only a few centuries ago. If that is primitive, then how would you refer to the Romans or to the Greeks? David said, but where did you get the bizarre idea that witches were burned in America? David, I'm not even going to list the references because you are obviously in denial. But it is easy to understand why. No cultural group on earth, except Muslims, has the inhuman, brutal, horrible, bloodthirsty history that is associated with Christianity. Denial is your only option. If I were in your shoes, I would do the same thing. David said, and when was the last time you were threatened with death because of your religious beliefs? David, you don't get out much, do you? But you still could turn on a TV or a radio, or you could read the newspapers and magazines or surf the web. To not see the worldwide violence and death that continues to this day requires that you blind yourself with a bullet to the optic nerve. You couldn't possibly be as ignorant as you are pretending to be. That only leaves one alternative: dishonesty. You see it every night on the news like the rest of us, but you just pretend it isn't there. What a pathetic existence when you have to escape the harsh realities of the real world by retreating into your little imaginary Garden of Eden, where everything is just the way you wish it to be, and you can pretend the real world doesn't exist. Grow up, David. You figured out the Santa Claus fantasy. The only reason you can't let go of your invisible imaginary friend the same way is because Santa Claus didn't threaten to hurt you if you didn't believe. David said, "This isn't a war between ghosts. It's a war over who is going to operate the casinos in Lebanon, where the Palestinian refugees are going to live, and who is going to control the oil fields of Kuwait and Iraq. Once again, the underlying causes are political and economical, but religion gets the blame." David, to ignore the role of religion in this violence is completely consistent with your entire belief system, which ignores the discoveries of science that prove your beliefs are garbage. You have to ignore facts and pretend things are the way you wish them to be because your gun is empty. You have nothing. You have no arguments that aren't laced with logical fallacies. You have no evidence to prove that anything you believe exists outside your head. Denial. It's all you've got. David continues, "Nobody flew planes into buildings as a way to convert them to a different religion." David, go back to your favorites and click on logical fallacies again. This time look up straw man. By the time this email is through, I'm betting that you demonstrate every logical fallacy on that list. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if you came up with a few new ones. David said, "Nobody invaded Iraq or Afghanistan as a way to convert them to a different religion." David, but if you had followed the link I provided in the previous email, you would have seen that once there, that is exactly what they did. But we both know that you are too mentally lazy to actually investigate both sides of an argument. You are only interested in confirmation bias. Yet another logical fallacy. That is why you don't follow the links that Hump and I provide you. You only want information that you feel supports your beliefs. Anything which contradicts your beliefs is immediately discarded. That, by the way, is exactly how the irrational mind operates. And your statements prove that you possess one of the best. And no, David, that wasn't a compliment. David said, "There are millions of Muslims here in America. Where are the suicide bombers in the USA? David, read the papers. Turn on the TV. The Fort Hood massacre. The Times Square car bomb. You can't possibly be as stupid as you are pretending to be. Can you?" He continues, "Every now and then some religious nutcase goes off the deep end. Not because he is religious, but because he is a nutcase." True, David, there will always be nutcases. Jesus would be one example. However, religion only provides an excuse and makes things infinitely worse. David says, "But why doesn't Hump and Company acknowledge the thousands of violent acts committed by non-religious people?" David, what evidence do you have to indicate that he doesn't acknowledge them? You wouldn't even acknowledge the Salem witch burnings, so you shouldn't be so quick to point the finger at others. He continues, "Do you really think that it is religious people that operate all the illegal gambling, drugs, prostitution, and are responsible for the thousands of murders and drive-by shootings in the papers every day?" David, what have I said that would indicate that? That's right, nothing. That is another straw man. That makes two. David continues, "No one ever claimed that some Christians, like some atheists, don't make stupid mistakes, or aren't the same kind of idiot sycophants as some of Hump's followers. Thankfully, not every Christian follows the directives of some man in Rome as if he were Christ himself. And yes, it is a pain in the rear when the rest of us get blamed and have to answer for the actions of the lunatic fringe and cult groups. David, I have never heard the Pope referred to as the lunatic fringe or Catholicism as a cult group. But keep going. You're doing great. He continues. And when it is anti-religious people murdering people as gang initiations and bombing churches and federal office buildings, what standard of morality do they use? David, anti-religious people who do the things listed above are not following any standard of morality that I have ever seen. When religious people do the things you listed above, we know exactly which books they are using for their standard of morality. David goes on, the New Testament biblical standard is no longer thou shalt not kill, but love thine enemy. David, please read your Bible. There is nothing more humiliating than having an atheist quote scripture to a Christian. In Matthew 5:18, Jesus said that the law would not pass away till all is fulfilled. And where do you, as a Christian, get off overruling Jesus H. Christ? If he said the law is still in force, then the law is still in force, regardless of what David S. Julian says. That makes two books you need to buy now, a dictionary and a Bible. He continues, why do you pretend that any Bible-believing Christian could or would condone such unbiblical and unchristian acts? David, I don't have to pretend. History proves that they did and still do. Now, David, go back to that site for logical fallacies and look up No True Scotsman. By the way, any argument containing a logical fallacy is invalid. If your argument contains one, you don't get to ramble on and try to save it. You must start over from scratch and construct an argument that is free from logic errors. David continues, that's as ridiculous as pretending to be a freethinker and then automatically excluding, because God wanted it that way, as a possible answer to why things are the way they are. David, go back to earlier in this email where you did, in fact, pretend to be a freethinker. Freethinkers don't exclude that answer. That answer is excluded by the fact that no one can prove that he knows what way God wanted it. The hundreds of different Christian denominations prove that you guys don't have a clue what God wants, yet all of you claim to know. He continues, on earth and in this lifetime, that's true. But in heaven, in the lifetimes before and after this earth, that was not and will not be true. David, and your evidence for that claim is? David says, I don't claim to know why God set it up this way, but I do know this. No, David, you do not know this. You believe this because you believe that these ancient goat herders were telling the truth when they claimed that an invisible ghost was telling them what to write down. After all, why would they lie? David says, in Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. So according to the Bible, God did not create the animals. David, your knowledge of the Bible is scary weak for a Christian. I even gave you the verse in the last email, John 1:3. Or just go back to Genesis 1:21. Are you sure you're a Christian? I've owned pets that knew more about the Bible than you do. David said, God told the land to produce them. David, not in verse 21. David says, it's something theologians call the secondary creation. David, and it's something scientists call more fairy tales. David said, this is the biblical basis for evolution. The land is still producing new species of plants and animals, and the land is doing the best it can with the limited resources it has. David, evolution doesn't have a biblical basis, only a scientific one. If the Bible had an evolutionary basis, why didn't Christians discover evolution before Darwin? Doesn't sound to me like any Christians believe what you are claiming until after science proved evolution. Most Christians today strongly disagree with you. The majority do not believe that the Bible supports evolution, and the proof is in the polls. He says, personally, I think that certain animals, like carnivores, do this to demonstrate to us what we used to be before we had God and morality. David, to believe that carnivores evolve because they want to demonstrate God and morality to humans defies... Actually, I think my brain just exploded as the realization of what you just said struck home. Remember earlier when I predicted that with your reasoning abilities, you would invent a new logical fallacy? Well, he continues, significantly, not every animal is a carnivore. David, why is that significant? If every animal were a carnivore, who would eat the plants? Are you sure you didn't sneak away for a few minutes and stick something into your veins? David says, in fact, the vast majority of animal species are herbivores and only eat parts of plants that are easily renewable resources. We are omnivores, so we can eat what we choose. Genesis 1:29-31. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all of the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. David, only very good? Had God put more effort into creation instead of rushing through it in 6 days, maybe it would have been excellent. David says, so when did God change the plan from fruits and vegetables to hamburgers? David, he didn't. We did. And Christians eat just as many burgers as everyone else. David continues, if all you can see is death and destruction, and especially that this dangerous, unstable, and temporary place is your only reality, then I feel sorry for you. David, can you show me where I said that all I see is death and destruction? No, you can't, because I didn't say it. Let's go back to your statement and see why I listed only the horrible things that afflict our planet. And here is his statement. The only people who cannot see God's handiwork all around them are people who choose to intentionally deny it. David, now it is clear which of us only acknowledges one side. You only see the good side of God's handiwork. And when I dare to point out all the bad things that were also included in God's handiwork, you flamed out and tried to claim that I was only seeing one side. That is called projection. Dictionary time again, David. You tried to accuse me of what you were guilty of, only seeing one side. Projection is not a logical fallacy, so you might think you're off the hook. Well, not really, because it is an aspect of a mental disorder. David said, why is the still air always 1,000 miles an hour at the equator? David, if the air is still, how can it be moving at 1,000 miles per hour? I think you are very confused. It is the earth which is traveling at 1,000 miles per hour, not the air. When we measure airspeed, we compute the speed relative to the earth's rotational speed. David, this is grammar school stuff. If you want to play in the big leagues, you need to learn how to hit the curveball. I pointed out that when you compared the airspeed to tornadoes and hurricanes to still air, you slyly omitted the Earth's rotational speed and only used the relative speed of the air. That was very dishonest, but so typically Christian. David says, 200 miles per hour faster or slower and you get blown away literally. David, why does that surprise you? David said, the wind constantly changes direction. Sometimes in a straight line, sometimes in a circle, and in every other possible combination, except for more than 200 miles an hour faster or slower from west to east. David, add another book to your Amazon shopping cart, one on weather. Wind is not restricted to only moving from west to east. David asks, why? Meaning, why does air only move from west to east? Well, David, you'll never find out as long as you keep your congested nasal passages buried in an ancient book of fairy tales. Take my suggestions and get the books I've recommended. David says, "Why do you assume that my God is an invisible ghost?" David, I'm not assuming. He is an invisible ghost. David said, "That's your version of God, a ghost that is invisible to you and therefore must be invisible to everyone else." David, back to the dictionary. This time look up atheist. I don't have a version of God. You are the one who is claiming a version of God. Unless you are the only human on earth with pictures, recordings, or some other evidence, he is an invisible ghost. Not just to me, but to every living non-delusional being on the planet. If you are claiming he is not invisible, then you have much bigger problems than the multitude of issues we have uncovered in this email. I had previously mentioned to David, the Bible taught me that I was born a shameful sinner. David replied, "No, sir, the Bible says you were born with a sinful nature." David, isn't that what I just said? David says, "And you were." Well, then we agree, David. Then he says, "When you were born, you were selfish, self-centered, took whatever you wanted, did whatever you wanted, peed and crapped on everyone around you, and screamed bloody murder if someone tried to prevent you from doing any of that." David, that may describe you. It certainly doesn't describe me. He says, "If you were blessed with religious parents," David, cursed would be a better word. Muslims and Hindus are blessed with religious parents, but Christians believe they deserve to burn forever in hell. Maybe being blessed with religious parents isn't all you're cracking it up to be. And you meant to say Christian parents, but you didn't have the honesty to say it. David continues, "You had a support system that showed you the value of sharing, thinking of others, asking before taking things not yours, having restraint and discipline, using the toilet instead of your pants, and to be quiet and listen when others were speaking." David, actually, none of those things require belief in invisible ghosts. He continues, "Later you learn to honor your parents and your elders, and eventually to thank God for the life you were given and to make the best of it." David, you don't need to be religious to achieve the first part, honoring your parents and elders. As for the second part, thanking God for your life, why would you thank an imaginary ghost for life? And which ghost? Allah? Brahma? Yours? The ghost you thank depends entirely on where you were born. It's as simple as that. Rational people thank their parents. David said, "And when you became an adult, you were given the choice of which way you wanted to act." David, given by whom? Why couldn't I choose how to act before I became an adult? Do you ever think any of these things out before you write them down? David said, "If you weren't blessed with religious parents..." David, how I wish I could say that. But I was blessed with Christian parents, just like most everyone else in the U.S. of A. David said, "Then you are probably a lot like you were when you were a child." David, you believe in invisible, magical ghosts and devils with horns and pitchforks. Are you sure that it's such a good idea to be accusing others of being like a child? David said, "And yes, an adult that still acts like that should be ashamed of themselves." David, but first you would have to admit it, and that is something you will never do. You will spend your entire life enslaved by the threats of an invisible ghost who you believe will torture you forever if you lose your belief. David, I may be headed for hell, but you already live there. By the way, that's in my book. David says, "Right, as a child you were never selfish, self-centered, took whatever you wanted, did whatever you wanted, peed and crapped on everyone around you, and screamed bloody murder if someone tried to prevent you." David, the fact that you can blame helpless babies for being babies shows how sick the mind becomes when fed a steady diet of biblical dogma. David said, "And who can't be honest here?" Well, David, that would be you. He said, "The only thing pathetic here is your pathetic attempt to fill the void with nonsense even more unbelievable." David, the voids in my mind have been filled with science, philosophy, history, and many other things that you call nonsense. Your mind is filled with stories of talking snakes, argumentative donkeys, and virgin birth. You have proven yourself incapable of separating nonsense from reality. He said, still more pathetic nonsense. The only people tortured forever in the Bible are Satan and his minions, not unbelievers. David, maybe you need to explain that to the other tens of millions of Christians. Most of them do not agree with you. Well, at least you don't have to worry this time about committing the fallacy of appeal to majority, since you are in a very tiny minority. He says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. David, Jesus wasn't talking to Satan or his minions. He was talking to his disciples. I'm pretty sure everlasting fire means hell. And I'm pretty sure everlasting means forever. Sounds like torture to me, but that's just the way I roll. David said, my guess is that you got that from some anti-religious propagandist like Hump, the same as you get nearly all this crap. Well, you guessed wrong, David. Again, as I just quoted the verse where I got it. When you say all this crap, I assume you are referring to science. That would be the science that has disproven just about everything in your grim fairy tales. David continues, Revelation 22:11-15. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. David, I think the important thing here is God's concept of the word soon. The sad thing is, even 10,000 years from now, ghost worshipers will still believe just as strongly as they do now that Jesus will be here on the Sunday after next. They will simply redefine the word soon. David said, I'm not terrorized by threats from an invisible ghost. You are. David, for you to resort to sounding like a child in kindergarten, I must have really hit the nail on the head. What you just did is called throwing it back. When faced with an accusation which is true, the most common tactic is for the irrational to simply throw the accusation back in hopes of distracting either the audience or the accuser. Unfortunately for you, that tactic only works on other irrationals. He said, you see, Neo, if you really didn't care about God, you wouldn't be overwhelmed with this need to justify your decision to deny God. David, when I read something that stupid, it is hard to reply simply because it is difficult to reply to nonsense. But since you are bringing me so much joy by allowing me to shatter your beliefs into little pieces, I will try anyway. If I actually believed in your God, then I would also believe that I would have to accept Jesus in order to get eternal life. Since there exists no unlobotomized human on the planet who would deny the existence of a God who could grant or deny eternal life, there is absolutely no one who would deny the existence of your God. The only explanation for why anyone would deny the existence of your God is that they don't believe in your invisible ghost, and therefore are not terrified by his threats. David says, and you wouldn't be desperately looking to find someone, anyone, who will support your bizarre ideas, even someone so pathetic they are ashamed to use their real name and call themselves something stupid like Dromedary Hump. David, now we're going to war. I do not have to desperately look to find support for my beliefs because every belief I hold can be proven to be true by science. By comparison, absolutely nothing you believe to be true can be proven to be true. That is why you need faith. A weak-old baby, you know those shameful, sinning little creatures who selfishly cry, crap, and pee all over everybody, is far closer to the truth about reality than you are because they know nothing, while everything you believe can be proven by science to be false. Therefore, even if it were possible, it would take you a lifetime to unlearn all the bogus fairy tales that rule your life and get you to the same point where the baby is now, at zero. Then, like the baby, you could begin on a path to learn about reality. That would be the reality of evolution, quantum mechanics, astronomy, geology, history, psychology, and all other areas of inquiry that are supported by provable scientific inquiry. Not the little fairy tale world that you believe in with your invisible ghosts, demons, angels, talking donkeys, and all the other biblical stories that you consider believable. Your beliefs prove you wouldn't know bizarre if it oozed out your nose. Regarding camels, I wouldn't be so quick to criticize one of God's favorite creatures. Didn't you ever find it odd that the big guy never mentioned any animal not found in the Middle Eastern desert? No Komodo dragons, kangaroos, penguins, or gorillas? Didn't you ever find it odd that your floating vapor never mentioned any people not found in the Middle East? God completely forgot about the Chinese, India, American Indians, any Europeans north of Rome, and Eskimos. Odd how a God who created the whole universe never mentioned anyone except camel jockeys. You could almost deduce that it was written by Middle Eastern goat herders who knew nothing about the rest of the world, if you weren't scared shitless that the threats in the Bible might be true. And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic, now you see it, now you don't. An infrared invisibility cloak made of glass. The article begins, from Tolkien's Ring of Power in The Lord of the Rings to Star Trek's Romulans, who could make their warships disappear from view, from Harry Potter's magical cloak to the garment that makes players vanish in the video game classic Dungeons & Dragons, the power to turn someone or something invisible fascinates humankind. But who ever thought that a scientist at Michigan Technological University would be serious about building a working invisibility cloak? That's exactly what Elena Sumuchkina, an associate professor of electrical and computer engineering at Michigan Tech, is doing. She has found ways to use magnetic resonance to capture rays of visible light and route them around objects, rendering those objects invisible to the human eye. Sumuchkina and colleagues at the Pennsylvania State University, where she is also an adjunct professor, recently reported on their research in the journal Applied Physics Letters, published by the American Institute of Physics. They described developing a non-metallic cloak that uses identical glass resonators made of chalcogenide glass, a type of dielectric material, which is one that does not conduct electricity. In computer simulations, the cloak made objects hid by infrared waves, approximately 1 micron or 1 millionth of a meter long, disappear from view. Earlier attempts by other researchers used metal rings and wires. Sumuchkina said, "Ours is the first to do the cloaking of cylindrical objects with glass." Her invisibility cloak uses metamaterials, which are artificial materials having properties that do not exist in nature, made of tiny glass resonators arranged in a concentric pattern in the shape of a cylinder. The spokes of the concentric configuration produce the magnetic resonance required to bend light waves around an object, making it invisible. Sumuchkina and her team now are testing an invisibility cloak rescaled to work at microwave frequencies and made of ceramic resonators. They're using Michigan Tech's anechoic chamber, a cave-like compartment in an electrical energy resources center lab, lined with highly absorbent charcoal-gray foam cones. Their antennas transmit and receive microwaves, which are much longer than infrared light, up to several centimeters long. They have cloaked metal cylinders 2 to 3 inches in diameter and 3 to 4 inches high. The researcher said, "Starting from these experiments, we want to move to higher frequencies and smaller wavelengths. The most exciting applications will be at the frequencies of visible light." So one day, could the police cloak a SWAT team or the army or a tank? Sumuchkina said, "It is possible in principle, but not at this time." And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Russia. A Russian tycoon says, "Find God or find a new job." The boss bans abortions and living in sin. The article begins, "A Russian tycoon who believes his country's devastating wildfires are a message from an angry God has ordered his employees to stop displeasing the deity. Vasily Boyko the Great, who legally changed his last name from Boyko, says all 6,500 workers at his agricultural holdings need to attend refresher courses on the teachings of the Russian Orthodox Church. Comment: why do the nutcases always seem to luck out and find all the money? Back to the article. Boyko the Great has banned employees from having abortions and says any workers living in sin need to get married before October or they will lose their jobs. He says he found God himself while imprisoned on fraud charges. Comment: how many times have we heard that story? Millions of people commit fraud, but to actually get convicted and sent to prison, you have to have swindled big time. Why do these ghost worshippers always turn out to be crooks or perverts? Back to the story. Boyko the Great appears unfazed by warnings that he is breaking Russian labor laws. Comment: that is because, like most Christians, he only answers to a higher law, one that apparently allows fraud. The article concludes, this is a private company and people working here must follow the rules. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Seneca the Younger, born 3 BC, died 65 AD at the age of 68. Seneca was a Roman Stoic philosopher, statesman, and dramatist. He was tutor and later advisor to Emperor Nero. He was later forced to commit suicide for complicity in the Piconian conspiracy to assassinate this last of the Julian-Claudian emperors. However, he may have been innocent. And now for the quote from Seneca the Younger. Religion is regarded by the common people as true, by the wise as false, and by the rulers as useful.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.